Good morning.
Good morning.
This is real unusual for me, but it is my privilege to be able to come bring you an Advent message of encouragement, I hope. So, will you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you that you provide moments of stillness when we can think about your word, the hope that you bring us, and Father, the reason for the season. Lord, we thank you for giving us Jesus, that name above all names, the one who came from heaven, left the glories of heaven to come live in a world that was riddled with sin and sadness and sorrow, so that we could come to know you and to have the hope of heaven. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would take the thoughts that you have given me this week and that you would anoint this message. Father, that each heart here may hear what it needs to know. And Father, that you would change us as we take a moment to just think about who you are and all that you have done for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It wasn't until about Tuesday that I knew that I was going to be bringing a message to you this morning. Things just kind of happened real quickly in the office this week with Pastor Mike having to leave to go preach a funeral. And do keep his family and Sherry's family in your prayers. But as I began to pray about this message, I asked the Lord to give me one word, just one, that I could share with you. And that word is the word ponder. Now, this time of year, we all get really, really busy. We don't have much time to ponder anything. It wasn't until about 10 years ago that I really understood what Christmas was like for most people. And the Lord gave me a poem, which I'd like to just read with you because I think it summarizes the way many of us feel this time of year. You'll recognize this because it was kind of an adaptation of the familiar 'Twas the Night Before Christmas story, but has a little bit of a spin on it. 'Twas the week before Christmas, and all through the streets people's bellies were bulging from too many sweets. The haggard expressions on all those tired faces were sure signs that they'd shopped at too many places. With pockets book empty and stress levels high, they comforted themselves with coffee and pie. Now yearning for a simple, more joyful occasion, they wondered what happened to the Christmas celebration. The gifts neath the tree, wrapped in paper so fine, left them wondering why they had spent their last dime on things that would soon be discarded and tossed instead of investing in the lives of the lost. The message of Christmas was somehow deleted, while parties and gift-giving were often repeated. The true meaning of Christmas got lost in the shuffle as everyone got caught up in the hustle and bustle. Christmas morning arrived, and the gifts were unwrapped as we uttered a sigh. Christmas has passed. Did we take the time to ponder the true meaning this season? Or did we once again forget that Christ is the reason we celebrate with gift-giving and time spent with all those we love, and that he came here for us, leaving heaven above? With a few days remaining before the big day, let us take time to ponder and give Jesus the praise. Let us unwrap the gift that he brought that first Christmas and give him our hearts. Merry Christmas, dear Jesus. I searched for the word ponder at BibleGateway.com, which is one of a number of sites that I use. And there were 9 occurrences of the word in Scripture. Perhaps the most familiar use of the term comes from the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, which I'd like to read starting in verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. What does it mean to ponder? According to dictionary.com, it means to consider something deeply and thoroughly, and to meditate. Often. You know, at the end of a sermon, sometimes Pastor Mike will encourage us to think about these things. And that's what pondering really is. It's taking the things that we have heard and seen and experienced and meditating on them. And sometimes we let life's experiences pass us by without really taking time to think about what the Lord might be teaching us. As I thought about the word ponder, a couple of questions came to mind. What are the things we ponder, especially during Advent and Christmas? Well, we know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, pondered all that the shepherds told her, which had been foretold to them by the angel. Can you even imagine what must have gone through her mind when she heard all they said about her baby? I can remember like it was yesterday, having a moment like Mary's when I held my firstborn in the hospital without anyone around for the first time. Chris was chosen to play the role of baby Jesus in our church pageant because my due date was very close to that pageant date. The only problem is Chris kept not wanting to get here. So I had to be induced. I went into the obstetrician during one of my weekly visits, and she said, "Well, you've passed your first due date." I said, "You don't understand. My child is baby Jesus, and I have to get him here by the 5th of December." So anyway, we laughed about that, but I can remember he was born at 5:30 in the afternoon. And of course, as you know, hospitals are no place to ever expect rest, right? There's just not, especially when you have a newborn. And I had the option of having him stay in the room with me, but as a new mom, never having been down that road before, I thought, do I really want to sacrifice my sleep at this point? Because I know how little sleep I'm going to get a few nights from now. But the really neat thing about not having him room in was that at 1 o'clock in the morning, of course, they brought him in to me. And for the first time, I had that child in my arms without anybody around me. And as I studied his face, as I nursed him, as I considered the fact that he had been chosen to portray my Savior, I was overwhelmed. Just overwhelmed. And I thought, Lord, how special how special and how privileged I am that you have given me this blessed task, and that you have chosen my son to portray yours in this Christmas program. It was a very meaningful time for me, and that was probably the moment that I had a glimpse of how Mary must have felt. But we don't take time to ponder. And why is that? Why do we not take time to just sit at the Lord's feet and ponder the truths he has for us? Well, it's because we're too busy. We have so much going on, especially this time of year, that it's hard to sacrifice that time to sit and ponder. But that's something that I really encourage you all to do this Christmas season. Carve out a few minutes where you can just sit in silence and think about what happened that first Christmas. But you know, pondering is not all just about what we learn about God and Jesus. Sometimes pondering is what we learn about ourselves. And I'll have to tell you about a pondering I had recently. We are celebrating our first home, our first Christmas in our new home, as many of you are aware. And I'm a perfectionist by nature. It's a curse that I have borne for a long time. Steve is shaking his head. Well, you know, sometimes you get into circumstances where you have to kind of figure out what the Lord is trying to teach you. And last week, the object lesson centered on curtains for the bedroom. Steve wanted blackout curtains, and I didn't want any curtains at all. And so I was not nice. I got really cranky. I have to admit, I'm not the person you see in the church office at home. I'm just not. You know, the church gets the best of me. The family gets the dregs. But anyway, I fought that decision. It was not what I wanted. It's what Steve wanted. It's what Steve needed. Sleep is a good thing, and we live on a street now that has street lights and cars coming and going at all times of the night, so I had to swallow my pride. I thought, I don't want any tacky curtains hanging in my bedroom. So I prayed about it after we fought some, and I thought, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this? Why is this so difficult for me? Why am I having such a hard time? So I finally said, okay, I'm going to submit myself to my husband's wishes, and we're going to go shopping for curtains. And we did. And I picked out the curtains. I picked out a color that I thought would look nice in the bedroom, but I was not convinced that they would look nice. Attitude is everything, people. It really is. So we got them home, and Steve hung the first window, and I said, I hate them. I said that to him. I said, I hate these curtains. And I had to go sit and just pray, Lord, please help me to love these curtains. Please help me to love these curtains. And so we took them down. I pressed them out. Well, actually, I washed them. That helped. We got the wrinkles out. We put them back up. And you know, they're really not so bad. But I got angry with him. And I got angry with myself. And I thought, why would something like this cause so much turmoil? And it's because of pride and selfishness. I wanted my way, and I didn't want anything hanging in my new lovely home that would detract from its beauty. But you know what? It's not about me. It's never about us, and we make so much of life about us. So, Lord, you know, the Lord always gives me these things. Now, I didn't know I was going to sit up here and talk to you about pondering today. But I pondered that decision a lot last week. And I had to do that in order to have any peace about it. And I think that's why God gives us circumstances that cause us to question. Because sometimes he wants us to sit down and ponder and to learn the lessons he wants to teach us. So what happened in me as a result of that? Well, my heart grew a little softer. Steve got his curtains, which was a good thing. But I learned that no matter what we go through, no matter how we feel about things, we need to really sit and ponder and ask God what he says about things. Sometimes we get so caught up in feelings that we forget that God has given us his word. Christ was the living word. But we also have his Bible. And that's where we need to go when we are pondering the questions of life. We need to pick up our copy of his word. We need to search it, and we need to ask for him to reveal his truth to us. So if there's anything that you are, if anything that you're dealing with, anything that you're questioning, don't let your feelings determine where you go with it. Sit down, take the time to ponder what God has to say about it. And when you do, you're going to receive tremendous gifts from him. You're going to receive peace. You're going to receive hope. You're going to receive patience, even though you may not have prayed for it. So take some time this holiday season, in the midst of all the chaos and the uncertainty, and just ponder. Just take a time to ponder. Will you pray with me one more time? Father, we do ask again that you give us the wisdom to set aside the time to spend with you in prayer, that you would make us seekers of your heart as surely as the wise men were seekers of your Son, and that, Lord, this Advent and Christmas season would become a season of miracles for all of us. Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for us. We are not worthy, but help us come to you in humility, with open hearts and open hands, ready to receive and treasure in our hearts all that you have for us this Christmas season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.